This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Business Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Andy Crestodina. Andy is the co-founder and chief marketing officer of Orbit Media. He'll tell us about what they do, some of their priorities, what works in content marketing and what doesn't, and more. Andy, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. I grew up here in the Chicago suburbs. I've lived in the city for about 20 years. I'm Gen X, so when I graduated high school, there was no digital marketing anything. It was a little bit early for that. So I majored in a foreign language, got a degree in Mandarin, went and lived in China, came back, decided not to be a high school teacher. The internet looked interesting. Had no resume for it. Nobody ever would have hired me. Learned that it's easier to start a company than to find a job because you just need a single client to start working on something. So 2000, started building websites with my friend, actually a friend from high school. 2001, incorporated as this version of Orbit Media, which we've been doing ever since. So it's web design and development. 20 years, 40 employees, and this is now 13 years in content marketing.
Well, congratulations. And take a moment on starting your own company right out of college or a little bit of traveling and so forth. That seems like a foreign art to so many people, but that's coming back and so important to the long-term sustainability of a free economy, a free world. Mm-hmm. Can you still start your own company today? Is that still something that people can do?
Absolutely. I'm not sure that the rate of entrepreneurship has declined. I've never seen any evidence of that. I saw a stat once that there's the number of new magazines launching is higher than ever. So disruptive times often lead to new beginnings. Certainly happened in 2007 and 2008. I see no reason not to start something new. It's this is an era of opportunity, as crazy as that sounds. People that are taking risks are going to be the ones who I think are going to accelerate out of the curve and be well positioned post-COVID.
You've built this magnificent content marketing firm, and I want to talk about that in a moment. Before we do that, you're one of the few people I've talked to in the last decade or so that has been a tree keeper for the last 10 or 12 years. Before we get into the substance of the discussion today on content marketing, what works, what doesn't, talk about being the love and being a tree keeper.
Well, I've always been a bit of an alarmist when it comes to the environment. And, you know, if there was something that could make a difference, that could clean the air and protect the watershed and, you know, create sustainable spaces, it turns out trees do that. If a trillion trees would solve a lot of problems in the world. We are losing them at a massive rate right now in the West. But yeah, being a tree keeper basically is just a program that a local nonprofit called Openlands runs. It's kind of a public partner, public-private partnership, and they teach you how to care for trees, how to plant trees, prune trees, diagnose tree issues, and once completed, you actually can take care of trees in parkways and trees in parks, and tree keepers get together and plant trees all over the place. Openlands is an amazing group, and if you're at all interested in making a small difference on your street, in your neighborhood, in your city, I suggest checking it out.
Magnificent. Thank you. Let me focus us back to content marketing. What works in content marketing today? What doesn't work? Give us a sense of the do's and don'ts.
Well, the classic approach to content marketing is to publish how-to articles and then promote them through organic channels, search engine optimization, email marketing, and social media. And that is still effective. But if you're a young brand or a small site, you'll notice right away that it's very difficult to get traction. What I recommend to people, especially in B2B, specifically in B2B content marketing, is to not just publish and pray, they say, but to write content that specifically answers questions that your prospects are asking you. And then once that content is live, to send it directly to people currently in your pipeline. This kind of sales marketing alignment creates what I think of as zero waste marketing. It doesn't matter if nobody shares it or likes or comments. It doesn't matter if it doesn't rank in search. You wrote it for your most valuable audience, your current prospects, and you sent it to them and talked to them about it directly. So another way, this is one specific tactic in a broader strategy often called account-based marketing. You can even use content to open doors. Let's say I'm writing an article about, you know, how to do a podcast, and I want to work with you. Scott, I could reach out to you and ask you for advice and use content as a networking tool. Content to build relationships, content to start conversations with people that I'd like to meet and know and maybe one day work with.
Talk for a moment about, because you said something that's very important in today's world, about how the world has sort of moved away from the shoot and spray approach to an account-based management, account-based marketing approach. Talk about that for a moment. Discuss that for a second.
If you take a minute to think about who is your A-list client, who are your most valuable prospects, who do you really want to work with, who understands you, they see the value of your services, they're good at making decisions, they pay their bills on time, whatever your target, whoever your most valuable, whoever you really want to have in your pipeline, if you start with that and then work backwards through that. This is the opposite of post and pray. This isn't like, oh, hey, we need to have a blog. No, a blog might be one conclusion after thinking through this strategic approach. And then say, okay, great. Who do they read? Who influences them? Who are they listening to? What podcast, what emails do they subscribe to? Are they part of a trade publication, an association? And then what you might end up realizing is, I need to have a column on the media website of my local trade association. And you end up with a completely different idea than let's have a blog. You may end up with a specific, measurable, actionable plan to put your voice in front of the right audience, to put your ideas into the brains of the people that you really want to influence. You might have a podcasting strategy. You might be reaching out to write guest posts. You might 80% of your content may be in other places, not just on your site. You can still do all of the normal things. You can have a classic, you know, content strategy. But if you ask yourself, really, who do I want to influence and what are they reading, you might go straight at that in a way that is far more strategic and effective than what 90% of other marketers are doing.
And talk about what you're most passionate about, what you're most excited about today.
I have hit on something that's working well for me, which works partly because we've already published, I don't know, 500 articles over the years, many of which rank well in search. Our site already attracts like a million plus visitors. So this is specific to me. Video, how-to videos, 12-minute long, detailed videos explaining complex analytics and search optimization tactics. My audience loves that. Don't just post on YouTube, but I make these videos, post them on YouTube, and then embed them on the articles that are getting the most traction, highest rankings, most shares, highest click-through rates. Those videos are almost automatically attracting lots of visibility because I posted them in a place with lots of visibility. So I sort of slingshotted my way into a more successful than average YouTube channel. But there's a takeaway for everyone in this. If your website were a city, there'd be a highway flowing through it. You should look in analytics and understand what the top path is through your website, what the top pages are on your website, and make sure that high on those pages, you're putting your highest value content, your best messages, your most compelling case studies, your strongest testimonials. Put billboards on highways, and you can create massive visibility with far less effort for those little data points and statistics and quotes and value propositions and calls to action that are likely 10 times more effective than everything else you're doing.
So really a targeted effort to understanding how to use these things together and focus on your most read stuff and embed your videos with those and so forth so that you're getting a synergistic approach as opposed to spraying stuff all over the place.
I never post anything without a plan to promote it. I don't have time for that. I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. I have to make breakfast every day. I am not someone who can tie. The difference between good and great in digital is like 100 times. Like the great stuff gets 100 times the results of the good stuff. So I am hyper focused on the analysis that helps me discover what's going to get 100 times the results. And then just focusing on that. It's like the 80-20 rule, of course you do. In digital marketing, it's probably like the 95-5 rule. You know, 95% of your results come from 5% of your effort. Find what those things are and double down, triple down, quadruple down on those things. It's going to be...
It's really the Pareto principle, of, exactly. of digital marketing. That a very small percentage of your efforts are going to generate the huge amount of traction and connectivity and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to something you said before. It's when you write an article and you write something, you're always writing it for a purpose. You might be sending it to your most important prospect or your most important customer, or you might be doing it on behalf of your most important customer to help them get closer with whoever they need to get closer to. So it's not just throwing stuff up, it's throwing stuff up with a purpose. I'm trying to build traction with these customers, these prospects. I'm spending the vast majority of my time. If you have 200 clients and 40 of them really pay the bills, you're really writing stuff that is directed at those 40 to make sure you're staying closer and closer to them, a much more account-based world than it is a spray-type world. Is that a fair statement?
Exactly. If you, I'll give you a quick example. We want to build websites for technology companies. Just write that down on the top of the whiteboard as the goal. Okay, what do they care about? Well, they want to see what everyone else is doing. Okay, I download a list of the top technology companies, have a virtual assistant analyze those websites to show me what percentage use which design feature. You know, search feature, contact form, you know, do they use chatbots and pop-up windows? Do they have slideshows? What kind of navigation? Cool. I've got research. I can literally tell you what percentage of the top websites use these features in that category of tech. Okay, now I want to make that, what, a blog post? Sure, but far better, a presentation. How do I get in front of these people? I need a partner. I'm partnering with a local tech incubator and local tech association to target their list. I'm a member, so they're helping me with this. Great. On Thursday, I'll have 80 different technology companies seeing my presentation about what's working for technology websites. I'm going to go through the research, and I'm going to show how the impact can be made, examples. This is how we do it. This is what we've seen work. At the end of that hour, I will have put, you know, I attracted them through research. I showed them best practices. I demonstrated expertise. They're all in this target audience. So total time, it's probably a 20-hour effort. But the results will be, of all the things I could do with those 20 hours, I honestly cannot imagine anything that would be more focused or more likely to succeed.
Than that. And that's a fascinating perspective. I mean, it's very much of a targeted, thoughtful approach. And it's ultimately, it's almost like an old Mark Twainism. It takes more effort to think about what you're really writing than just write a lot. And it's very similar here. It takes more effort to really think about what you're trying to target than to just target a ton of stuff and do a ton of different things. It's a much more efficient action is what it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of digital marketers, but there's not enough digital strategy. It's a strategic, I named my goal, and then I chose the audience, I chose the format, I chose the hook, I chose the headline, I chose the call to action, and then it doesn't just end with that. There's the follow-up email. You know, there's LinkedIn, strategy for attracting more people to this. But everything is totally focused on that one specific outcome. Generate qualified leads for B2B tech companies who appreciate good web design and were interested in the topic this month. It's not guaranteed to succeed, but it's really the value to them and to us is very high.
Right. So even if not guaranteed to succeed, far more likely to be efficient and helpful and to give you the results you're looking for.
Yeah, I can't really imagine it failing. I mean, it's going to make us visible It's going to make us top of mind. It's going to make us memorable to exactly the people we want to connect with. So sometimes these things take like a year before you get a lead that says, hey, I came to your thing a year ago. But, you know, that's what farmers do. We plant seeds and then see what happens, right?
And talk to me a moment about this further. One of the things you said that was the most instructive was you set a very clear goal at the top of the whiteboard. It's we want to reach these kinds of companies that want to do this. Mm-hmm. How important is it for your customers, your clients, the people you work with, to have clarity about their goals?
Well, the brands that don't and the websites that don't end up limiting their effectiveness down to really just one outcome, which is to confirm what you do to people who already know you. If you look at your homepage, and if the top of your homepage doesn't clearly state what you do to a stranger who didn't hear about you from a referral or word of mouth, or who hasn't been to your website or worked with you before, then you failed the so-called backyard barbecue test. I mean, I see websites all the time where the top of the homepage just says, you know, we humanize technology. It's like, what does that mean? If you don't have this strategic thinking in place, then it's very likely that your site is just a brochure. It's just like a business card for people that already knew about you. It's not going to work for the new visitor. It's not going to work to grow awareness or increase demand. Why do you have a website? Is it just as a landing page for people who, you know, heard about you through some other existing channel, or is it really growing your business? So, yeah, I think people who don't apply this thinking end up with sites that sort of like water. There's no information there. There's no differentiation. There's no evidence. There's no faces. No, it's the standard is still very, very low in so many industries that it's not that hard to crush the competitors and dominate a category. People do it every day.
Oh, fantastic. Andy, it's a pleasure to visit with you today. How do people learn more about you and your firm?
Orbitmedia.com. The blog is there. I write an article every 2 weeks. The schedule of events, which we are very active in that channel, as I mentioned. I wrote a book you can find on Amazon. It's called Content Chemistry. Probably LinkedIn is my best network.
Well, fantastic. Andy, what a pleasure to visit with you. I think so many of your thoughts are right on, and it's just a pleasure and I hope very instructive for our listeners. Great thoughts on targeted and intelligent content-based marketing. Just brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.